Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Let's Watch podcast. I am your host, James, with my co-host, Carolyn.
That's me.
And today we are talking about a traumatic movie, The Humans, because it's about humans.
And yeah.
Carolyn has the synopsis, which is probably pretty accurate on this one, I'm going to guess.
Set inside a pre-war duplex in downtown Manhattan, The Humans follows the course of an evening in which the Blake family gathers to celebrate Thanksgiving. As darkness falls outside the crumbling building, mysterious things start to go bump in the night and family tensions reach a boiling point. And it's directed and written by Stephen Karam.
Stephen?
Sure. And it's based on a play by him as well.
Yeah. So it's a one location play that is filmed. And that's very obvious. You and I seem to have watched a lot of these.
Yeah, though they did. They made really good use of the space. Like, I'm glad it wasn't like a one room apartment. I appreciated that there was lots of rooms.
And the cast is Richard Jenkins, Jane Houdyshell.
Sure.
I hope I'm saying that right. Amy Schumer, Beanie Feldstein, Steven Yeun, and June Squibb.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty stacked cast.
Mm-hmm.
Of lots of very talented actors, and then Amy Schumer.
I liked her in this.
She's good in this, but I generally don't like her.
Yeah.
This was against type for her, which was nice to see.
I like her when she plays things that are more toned down, for sure.
Yeah. Also, she maybe steals jokes, but whatever.
Big Amy Schumer fan.
Huge, huge. Can you tell? Mm-hmm. And you know that I love Steven Yeun.
Yes.
He is one of my favorite actors. And so this, I am a little lukewarm on this film.
Interesting. I liked this film.
Okay.
I also didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I don't know what to make of it either, but I like that I don't know what to make of it. I think that's what the movie wants you to feel, and it's successful in making me feel that.
Well, because the whole time I'm sitting there being like, this is really uncomfortable, and I'm not even really sure why. Like, it's not like... Like, there are movies about really dysfunctional families, and this is not that. This family actually feels, like, fairly normal, with normal family interactions. I think that's probably what's so uncomfortable, is it actually feels believable.
Yeah. I agree with that. All of the performances are great. Mm-hmm. Everybody's great in this film.
Well, what's cool too is like, I kind of wonder how they would film this on stage. Like if they would do it with all the crosstalk and stuff. Because that's what I liked, is that like, there's a lot of long shots and then a lot of close-ups on weird like broken things, like bubbling walls and that sort of thing. And like, they do a lot of not showing people when they speak. Like you'll be looking at one person, but hearing someone else speak, or like hearing someone else in a whole other room speak. And there's a ton of crosstalk. It makes it extremely disorienting, but in like a good way.
Yes.
Like and a deeply uncomfortable way, but in a good way.
Like generally the camera is focused on one actor at a time, but you hear everybody else around them,
or
they're in one room and it's nonstop. So it's definitely a movie you have to like constantly be focusing on. And I recommend subtitles.
Yes.
For this reason, so you can hear, make sure you notice what other people are saying, because sometimes it's really quiet, but it's important information that's being said.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see that, I was like, oh, this was a theater movie, because that's how it would have to be. But I find myself lukewarm is that I found like the filmmaking, and I know me saying this is kind of ridiculous, but like especially pretentious.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
like,
it's an
hey,
A24 film, and you know it.
Yep. Okay. You know, as a 24 defender, how dare you? This one is actually pretentious and the others are fine. All right. Maybe I'm not just waking up and realizing this now. Okay. The problem is you, not me. So like the person obviously loves the use of framing, maybe within frames. And then there's lots of photos in this movie that are very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I get that. That's a nice touch, but you're kind of pointing it out.
Yeah.
And there's movies that have done this better, like Hereditary, where it's not noticeable.
Yeah.
You kind of, it just flows in. And then like the constant, how like the apartment they're staying in is kind of, I would assume, the regular New York apartment with lots of stuff wrong with it. And like, you see a lot of like rot, like right underneath the walls. And I was like, I get the metaphor. I get it. I get it. I understand what you're doing. You don't have to cut to it every time when a character is in silence. Like, I understand. Like, show it me a couple times, not every time.
But also, I don't know, something about the... Well, okay, it's even weird that the synopsis talks about things going bump in the night. And
not really.
No, I know. It's weird that it says that. But also, when they kept showing the bubbling and the oozing and whatever, I knew it was a metaphor too, but I wasn't even paying attention to that because I think I just watch a lot of horror movies. And
it's
so
filmed like a horror film.
It is. It is. And it's like you feel really uneasy the whole time.
You do.
And you're like waiting for something bad to happen. And nothing bad really does happen.
Well,
yes. But like, but it's, yeah, no, it's super eerie the whole time. The way that it's filmed and they keep showing these like oozing things. Have you seen His House?
No, but I've seen images and scenes from it.
Similar vibe in that you think that something is going to reach out of the wall and grab you. Spoiler, it doesn't. This is not a horror film.
Are you talking about an actual good movie?
His House?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like how it's filmed like a horror movie. I think that's very effective and kind of the right tone for what they were going for with this story. But the specific, other than like the, and like the constant like turning out lights is the thing that really annoyed me. I was like, that's so theater.
Yes,
it works on a stage, but I don't know if it works in a movie. Though that the images do look cool and it is effective, I don't know if the turning out lights worked in this film for me.
It made me stressed out, I will say that.
Yeah, and it's so obnoxious that you're like, I get it. I get it. Time is coming to an end on this and that it's, you know, damage is being done. I get it. But we don't need that like every time, right? And
see, yeah, it I mean, it worked for me, though, in terms of, like, I know that it was a metaphor, but I wasn't, like, sitting there being like, ooh, it's a metaphor. Like, I wasn't sitting there noticing that it was an obvious metaphor or being like, ooh, symbolism. I wasn't even paying attention. Like, for me, they were two disconnected things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the house falling apart was kind of a reason for their tension. Like, I was looking at it in more of a literal way, which I think it also was. And I think the literal way worked for me. Now that you're saying the metaphorical way, yes, that is extremely obnoxious. But the literal way, I was just thinking about like how frustrating it would be to be like in the dark trying to navigate all these things and stuff.
No, literally, in the literal way, I think it works very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when you add the metaphor to that, it didn't work for me.
Yeah, then it gets pretty obnoxious.
Like the images that he captures when the lights are going out and stuff is very, very well done. And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's incredibly filmed for like a one location area. It does a really good job with that. And I like the movie for that. It's just that maybe with a movie we talk about later, I don't know. It just feels like the center of this movie is the wrong character for me.
Which would be the father?
I think the father is the center of this character. And I just find him the most boring character.
I agree, yes. But what I liked about that is, like, I didn't want to focus on him. I didn't care. But what I liked about that is it made you really intrigued about the other people. Like, I wanted more Steven. I wanted more Beanie. And what I loved is that it made me really focused on the film because you could only get those other characters that I was really enjoying in snippets in the background. And it's one of those like, ugh, you feel like you're tied to the main character when you're like, but I really want to be over there. And it's interesting because you're kind of like tied to his sadness and mopiness and whatnot. When really the enjoyable thing is happening in the other room and you want to be over there with them, you know?
Yeah, his aggressive boomerness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I just was like, I don't really care about this man or his issues at all. Like they're all... Before the reveals of what they are, I was like, they're all self-inflicted because he's a bitch.
Well, that's the thing. He did seem like just a bit of a sad sack, like feeling bad for himself.
Who takes it out on other people.
Yeah.
And his daughters specifically. And it's like, I get, like, I liked like the snide comments with the family stuff. Maybe this is just me where... Like, okay. This is hard because I'm like, my family might listen to this. I'm having to phrase this in a way where it's like, I don't come off as like an asshole specifically to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know my sister will listen to this and I hate you, Megan. I just want you to know that you stink. But I find like this simmering tension within family relationships is like obviously like a real thing a lot of people deal with. And I don't have like a ton of experience with that because generally, at least in my experience, like they have this moment where like they're making fun of the mom for sending them these crazy emails, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would just tell the person to their face. Yeah. And that might just be me, but I would roast my family member if they sent me that. I would like pull it out if we were having dinner and be like, what, and roast them essentially, right? Like I wouldn't, I'd let them know that what I think
Though
of it. And that might be wrong
sensitive.
In a different way. Yeah. And maybe that's like a difference between being like a son and a daughter, and maybe as aging, that's something I hasn't experienced. And it just, that didn't work for me personally. And I may be like telling on myself here. That's probably what I'm actually doing.
I think what it is like, I really like the relationship between the sisters. And I think what it is it's probably like, what I liked about this family dynamic is that it wasn't straight up like, you know how you see a lot of like dysfunctional family things, and they are dysfunctional. Like these guys are like normal dysfunctional, you know, they're not like sweet, happy, white picket fence family, but they all care about each other. And they're just a little bit dysfunctional, like normal people are. But it wasn't.
Well, they're
just
different
like,
people.
Exactly. And but they all still care about each other. And you really see that. And mm-hmm. they do want to support each other and stuff. So that's what I liked about – that's what worked for me in general, is I was like, God, a lot of these movies you see and the tension is just like, oh, my God. And, you know, so-and-so has cancer.
It's
and
outlandish.
This person did this. Yeah. And it's like – it's much harder to relate to. But like for that in particular, I think what I got from it is the sisters – that's the kind of thing that you see the sisters chatting about late at night when they're already kind of like, well, we can't reason with mom. You know, like mom keeps sending me. It's like when sisters will be like, oh, mom keeps telling me to get married. And it's like, you know, like things like that, that like aren't necessarily battles you want to pick with them, or you've picked these battles for the past 10 years. And eventually you're kind of like, ah, it's not worth it. And all we can do is laugh about it now. That's kind of the vibe mm-hmm. that I got from that.
And I think that's correct. And I think it's successful in that. I agree. I like how it is not like screaming and shouting matches, right? It's more of like,
well, because sometimes they're actually having fun and they're laughing and they're having a good time, and like I thought they would treat the boyfriend really badly, but they didn't, and he wasn't making a fool of himself. Like he's just being kind of awkward, but sweet, and they like him, and you know, it didn't fall into all the tropes they could have.
No, I agree with that. I do wish they used Steven Yeun more. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was the least used in this. Mm-hmm. Is that he didn't really have a lot to do. He felt like he was definitely there for other people to play off of.
Well, I think that was kind of the point, though, because he is the outsider in the family, like just trying to fit in and stay under the radar, you know?
Yeah, but I do think it's a waste of somebody of his talent, though.
Though, if there wasn't somebody of his talent in it, I would not have cared about that character at all. And the fact the fact that I even paid attention to him is because it was Steven Yeun. And I really enjoyed what he did show us, you know?
I agree. I think he's great in this movie. I thought there was going to be more of him because he's maybe the second most, maybe the most famous, second most famous person in this cast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. And he gets little scenes and stuff, and he's excellent along with everybody else. It's mm-hmm. just, it did feel like, I don't know. And maybe this is just me. And it was like, I was putting myself too much in the roles of different people, which is certainly true. Is that when stuff would happen is like there would be have these moments where like two characters are arguing and then it gets interrupted and they never go back to it. Mm-hmm. Right. Or it's like it's just like adding to like this simmering underlying tension that the movie wants to get to. But it felt like there was never any like resolution, or it never like there was no like satisfaction of like where that stories were going. It just constantly felt like and we're stopping. And it was just like this shit is just going to lay there forever and not be addressed until these people die, and people are just going to hold resentments, which I think is true for a lot of a lot of people with their family, is that they mm-hmm. like you hold on to shit and don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. But it just that's not. I didn't want to watch that in a film. I guess is what I'm getting at, is that I didn't find at least this representation of it very satisfying for me to engage with.
Well, let's be honest. This film is like really quite uncomfortable. Like I enjoyed it a lot. I was not comfortable at one moment during this movie, partly because you don't know the point. Or like where it's going, especially with like they keep dropping all these like horror Easter eggs, and you know, with having read the synopsis with the bump in the night situation, for a lot of the film I was like, okay, something's gonna happen, but then I realized at a point nothing was gonna happen, but then I was like, but what is the like peak of the story here? And it's really interesting to not know, but like, good Lord, this movie is uncomfortable in a way that like I liked. That said, if I were in a different mood, I think I would have hated it. Like
I think this is going to go into the long list of movies that we have that are good that we'll never watch again.
100%.
Like, why would you do this to yourself?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's And I do think that is kind of a flaw with the film, because like there are movies that we've talked about previously on here that are tough watches that we both enjoy and would watch again. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's possible. I could see this movie being triggering for some people, maybe. Mm-hmm. It might not be the movie for you. Mm-hmm. If you do not have a great relationship with your family, I would say.
Even if the whole movie's not relatable, I feel like you can see aspects, good or bad, with any family, unless you literally are, insert a creepy family name here. The Stepfords? Who's a creepy family?
The Dunks.
Hey.
I'm kidding. You set that up so well for me. That, yeah. How could I not do that? Come on. It's actually my family. No. I know. Yeah. There's lots of TV families. Like the first one that jumps to mind that is like super dysfunctional, but it's like played for humor. Mm-hmm. And this is going to show my age, but like the Everybody Loves Raymond family.
Oh God, yeah.
Like that sitcom family stuff. That is like it's super dysfunctional, but it's played for humor. But mm-hmm. when you actually look at it, it's like, is this funny? Mm-hmm. Right? Like this seems kind of fucked up mm-hmm. in when you look back on it. I don't like this movie is well made. I just don't think it was for me is kind of where I'm mm-hmm. ending up on it. And I think it's well made. This is 1,000% getting nominated for screenplay Oscar because the Oscars will eat this shit up.
Well, also like this is a cast that you pay attention to because Richard Jenkins, Steven Yeun, and June Squibb are all Academy Award nominees already. Jane Houdyshell, that's a funny name. She won the Tony for this play on Broadway.
Yeah, she's incredible in a very tiny part in this film. In a very, I guess, she was almost the emotional center of the film for me. Like whenever her character was brought up, it's very emotional.
You know what's interesting is other than the dad, and maybe I didn't even notice it because he didn't say that much, no one is actually a big part in this film because I think I can think of individual moments where each character, it was their time in the story. Because at some point while watching this film, I was like, oh, I wish there was more so-and-so. I wish there was more so-and-so. I wish there was more so-and-so. Until I literally went through the whole cast.
Yeah, other than the dad who is kind of the center.
Yeah, exactly. Because like there were points where I was like, oh man, I love listening to Beanie and Steven interact or Beanie and Amy Schumer interact, but they'd be doing it in a different room, you know? So it kind of drives you insane because you're like, show me, but also, I don't know. I like the tease.
Yeah, it does a really good job with that, and the audio mix is very well done with that. It never felt like I never had to rewind and be like, what did that person say? Mm-hmm. I could always hear them. Mm-hmm. And I do like how there's the constant allusion or like the way they film the dad a lot when he's like standing is like, oh, is he, it's his mother, June Squibb is playing.
Yeah, I thought he was sick.
I think that is the reference, right? Is that mm-hmm. maybe he is suffering from whatever she has, which is never said. And it allows people to like infer and
I think they did mention better. That she had dementia.
Yeah, but that could be from what something else. Like dementia could be caused by something, and that's kind of what I assumed. And I think they left it broad open that is so like more people could relate because if you live long enough, you're gonna get dementia. It's just kind of how humanity works, and it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what the movie was saying with him, or at least that was my interpretation of it. But maybe it changes with what is revealed at the end of the movie. I don't know. But mm-hmm. I think that's still true, and how that nobody's, and I do, this movie is a good job at being entertaining and interesting with, well, dancing around subjects of being like, we're talking about this, but we're not talking about this. Like, this is a conversation that is kind of minor, but we're actually talking about this, but you understand what that is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hard to pull off in a film that is only that and has to make sure you pick that up. And it does a lot of showing and not telling, and I think it is successful. This movie, just everything, it's one of those movies you watch and like everything is good, but why isn't this working for me? And I'm still not sure why it didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. But I did find, and maybe it's because I watched it on my computer instead of in a theater, I did find my attention would wane at points.
Yeah,
because it's just kind of that movie, and maybe that was it. I don't really know. I still think it's good, but it kind of is in that like Nomad Land area like last year for me, where it's like, this movie's good, but it's fine. I don't mm-hmm. really have many strong feelings for or against it. I like everybody in here with the exception of Amy Schumer, and I hope She's good in this movie though, but I hope people get recognized. They get recognized for this because there are lots of great performances, and I think the script is good, and I think the cinematography is good. It just kind of is that for me.
Man, the thing that bothered me the most, I think, was that the dad was such a sad sack.
He is, but I like Richard Jenkins is good at that. Like he's great.
He
as
is
Eric, but he is such like a pathetic man. Right. And how you he was such like an easy, quick read of for who that man is.
Mm-hmm.
Me, because we've all talked to men like that. And it's like, oh, OK, but you're so boring to me. I've also seen this character on screen a million times.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like maybe we could center the movie on one of the daughters or his wife.
Yeah.
And it would be more interesting. At least it would be more interesting for me, maybe. And maybe that's different on stage.
I doubt it.
I doubt it. Or maybe a different actor would make it different. I don't know. But I thought Richard Jenkins was good. Like, I don't.
Oh, I thought everyone in this was really good.
So, yeah, I don't know. But it is familial trauma, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain scenes that, like, made me angry. Like, and it was mostly with the dad and how he was talking to people. And it was like, no wonder nobody likes you, dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know it because, like, you're so dismissive of how everybody is. And I don't know. That's kind of where I'm.
I think what triggered me was like when he had been telling them about his dream and they were all teasing him. And I thought that was really funny. And then later on, you realize that the dream is actually like extremely traumatic for him. And everyone was just kind of blowing off his pain. And that's the one time where I felt really bad for him, because I feel like that's something that's so commonly like people tease your like insecurities or your traumas and they don't realize that it actually like impacts you, you know?
Yeah. I do think I agree with that, but I do think also that's a little self-evident because he wasn't sharing what the trauma actually is.
Yeah.
So they didn't know. It doesn't make it any better.
I mean, they didn't really let him get it out, though. Like,
no, to be fair, yeah.
He was like half explaining and then they were teasing him and then he was basically like, okay, forget about it, you know?
Except Richard. Richard was like, oh, tell me, I'm actually interested, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't faked interest from Richard. He was like, oh, and then he wants to talk about his dreams as well. He's like,
yeah,
I get
Richard's
all these weird dreams.
Yeah, kind of a weirdo, but like a sweetie.
Okay, I felt bad for him because, like, one of the things I like the most is that when he's like keeps turning on the little projector, and Bridget keeps turning it off, and he's like, "But it's the vibe."
Yeah, he's like,
"That's the vibe."
Nice. That's what I liked is that like he really wanted to make a good impression, but he also is just himself, which was sweet.
And him trying to get rid of the dirty mattress.
Yeah, being like, what the hell? Like,
I just was like, there's so little character moments in that is so good. Which this movie has a lot of. But his are the only ones where, like, everybody else's are like, oh, God, this is something terrible. But his are kind of, like, light, funny ones that it's, like, makes him more. And maybe that's the role his character is supposed to be, is, like, the outsider to the family. Is that he's not going to be like, here's my trauma.
Yeah, no.
And that sort of stuff. But I've said enough. I think this movie is good, but just not for me. Carolyn loves it because she loves drama.
Okay, I didn't love it. I enjoyed it way more than I thought I would.
Okay, excuse me. Let me put words in your mouth, please.
Please do it.
No. Yeah. You're. I think this will probably get nominated for Best Picture, right? This seems like an Oscar picture movie to me.
I don't know if it'd go Best Picture. I don't think enough people will watch or care about it for that, but definitely like screenplay and maybe
Richard Jenkins.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
He's been recognized before.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like it if anybody else was, but I just don't think there's enough there for anybody else. Maybe the wife, Deirdre.
I feel like the wife,
she does,
yeah.
But I don't think anybody else, there really is enough there. Or none of them have the scene where they're like the big Oscar scene.
Yeah, it's all too quiet.
It's all too quiet. Which I feel like we said a lot this year. But The Humans, I think it's worth a watch.
I think so too.
Watch it with your family on Christmas morning.
No.
It will really set the mood. just out here trying to inflict pain upon people. But you can find me at James Willicks everywhere on the internet. And you can find Carolyn
at CarolynDunk93 everywhere on the internet.
And you can send us an email at letswatchpod@gmail.com. And the next movie we're going to watch is Carolyn's favorite movie of the year, Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.